Welcome back. It's a Thursday, the 21st day of March 2024. I'm your host, Mark Hall. And what that means, folks, is that regardless of which calendar and equinox you look at, one way or the other, we've entered now officially into springtime. And given what's happening in Haiti and Cuba and other aspects of the World War III front, maybe that's now Latin American spring. So let's start with that World War III update. Here's a piece from the WorldNet Daily source, J.M. Phelps, about an interview with a retired Brigadier General Blaine Holt, United States Air Force, who served as the Deputy U.S. Military Representative to NATO and is co-founder of a nonprofit group called Restore Liberty. And he fears the worst under the Biden Fuhrer, noting that the evidence of betrayal is, and I couldn't help but think he's right on with this, undeniable. Quote, it's just not statistically possible for an administration to make 100% of its decisions counter to United States interest without some other factor at play. And he added, if Americans want to know what that factor is, start watching what Congressman Comer is doing in his oversight committee. And at this point, the WND article helps us out by noting that Representative James Comer of Kentucky is chairman of the House Committee on Oversight and Accountability. And according to Holt, quote, every single day, he's peeling back the onion on the Chinese compromise of this administration. For example, in a March 14 press release, Comer announced, quote, a government-wide investigation into the Chinese Communist Party's ongoing efforts to target, influence, and infiltrate every sector and community in the United States, including but not limited to America's education, agriculture, critical infrastructure, research, energy, business, space, and technology sectors. And as Holt put it, in every area, the Chinese are not only making deals favorable to the Chinese and their interests, but also to their second and third-tier interests, including Russia and Iran. And if you look through that prism, he said, things start to explain themselves. Take Iran, he said, as the first example. We won't mess with them because we'd be messing with China's oil supplier. That's why we're doing nothing more than throwing rocks at the Iranian-backed Houthis instead of just ending them. We also, he said, have a wide-open southern border that compromises, to put it mildly, folks, American security. And he added, fentanyl is killing the country, but once again, it's the Chinese alliance with the cartels that makes China off-limits. And when you look at all these inconsistencies or outright malevolencies, is this regime, he said, and I changed one word there, doing anything that's not helpful to Chinese interests? The only saving grace we have is that the Chinese regime seems to be coming down under its own weight economically. But those problems still won't change their long-term strategic goals, regardless of what's happening domestically for them. And they still have Russia, Iran, and North Korea continuing to menace the world while they plot to destroy America as we know it. Yeah, with the wholehearted cooperation, folks, of an illegitimate puppet regime there in the swamp. Noting that no previous regime has ever had a national security team that's gone 0 out of 100, he added, fighting age men are dwelling among us in 3 tiers, and those tiers include migrants, terrorists, and state actors like the People's Liberation Army. Most Americans, he concluded, live in this little bubble where they think that all of our overseas problems just stay overseas, like wars stay overseas. But they think these kinds of things won't visit us here. Still, there is something brewing at home, and it'll take many by surprise. This next piece begins with a bit of commentary from analyst Vox Day, who says, I think we can safely assume now that all the European dramatics about sending troops to Ukraine are going to vanish pretty quickly once it's clear that no amount of their hapless soldiers being sent to hell by Mr. Kinzhal is going to inspire the United States to invoke Article 5 of NATO and declare war on Russia, at least directly. And further, because of the resignation, and he puts it in quotes, of Ms. Color Revolution herself, the evil Victoria Nuland, may have just been another warning flag. That's now been followed up by another indication of the U.S. military's shift towards the Southeast Asia World War III front. And here comes a piece from the UK Express, which says American troops are now permanently to be stationed in Taiwan, according to Taipei, a huge move that will likely send tensions, gee, do you think, with China soaring. Now, in light of what we just read, folks, I can't help but wonder, is that deliberate? Let's continue. According to reports from Taiwan's United Daily News, or UDN, U.S. Army Green Berets from the 1st Special Forces Group are now permanently stationed at bases of the 101st Amphibious Reconnaissance Battalion, a Taiwanese Army Special Ops Force located in outlying island counties of Pingyu and Kinmen. Notably, Kinmen lies just over a mile from Chinese shores. And additionally, reports suggest that an American military presence in the northeast city of Taiwan Taoyuan on Taiwan's main island, with service members providing specialized training on drone equipment for Taiwan's elite airborne special forces service company, ought to raise some eyebrows. But interestingly, as Vox Day notes, not a peep yet out of Chinese media or their foreign ministry. But still, he says, I imagine they might eventually have something to say about this, perhaps real soon. And if they don't, well, that too would communicate an equally strong message. Now, separately, folks, your host has seen a number of stories suggesting that Communist China intends to do something, and we can guess what that would be, about Taiwan and reunification by 2027 at the latest. And reports like this suggest just maybe the Biden Fuhrer is going to give them a really good reason to do so before his puppet show is over. Item, and I can't help but think it's related one way or another, courtesy of Breitbart, Pope Satan, a.k.a. Francis, wrote a letter to a group of mostly South American illegal wannabe migrants Thursday, and he called them, are you sitting down, the suffering flesh of Christ. Obviously, he considers himself to be the other part of the flesh of what now passes for Christ. The guy in the funny fish hat told the 3,000 migrants, just a tiny fraction of what's en route north, folks, gathered at Lajas Blancas in Panama just after crossing the Darien Gap en route to the border somewhere between Arizona and Texas, that he would have liked to have been there with them personally. But instead, he had to be represented by a group of communists, bishops from Costa Rica, Panama, and Colombia, as well as other NGO workers. The story notes that even the UN admits more than 500,000 migrants crossed that Darien Gap area in 2023, and that's the highest annual figure ever recorded. But they hope to vastly surpass that when a bunch of confiscated tax dollars from once free people all over the place build new roads and bridges to up the ante. And you can probably guess the Communist Chinese are happy to get somebody else to pay for their invasion. Here's another one of those red warning flags that we've all seen coming. But now that it's obvious, it's good to understand the implications. And here, the Zero Hedge headline misses what I think is the main point. It says, Liz Warren and other socialist pals want to normalize the confiscation of American people's assets with an alleged tax, at least, on what they call the ultra-rich. And understand, folks, everybody knows, especially they do because they're planning it, the hyperinflation is coming. Which probably means if you can still afford to buy a burger with real beef, real horse meat anyway, from McDonald's. Oops, did I let that slip? Well, let's just put it this way, folks. Anything other than the bugs they want you to eat eventually. They call it the Ultra Millionaire Tax Act, by which the government would confiscate 2% from households worth between $50 million and $1 billion. But hey, given the coming hyperinflation, I might repeat myself, 3% on households that are worth more than $1 billion. And remember, when Zimbabwe got to the ultimate place that the U.S. is headed, it was trillions of dollars that would barely buy a dozen eggs. Other leftists have introduced companion bills in the whorehouse of representatives. And while Warren insists that the bill would, at least until we get that hyperinflation, only affect the wealthiest 100,000 or so households in the U.S., the point is to sell voters on their plans and normalize the confiscation of assets, which will obviously, note Zero Hedge, open the door to the consideration or implementation of confiscation among everybody else. There are more elements to this evil plan, but this, your host thinks, is probably the most interesting, given what's being done to Donald Trump in New York, where they've shown that, hey, if we don't like your politics, we'll just steal your businesses and your assets, your buildings, and guess what? When we get a judgment against you for, $500 million or so, nobody will insure you or give you some kind of a loan, because they know we'll just steal your buildings anyway. So here you go. Quote, Warren's proposal, says Zero Hedge's coverage, also includes what they call a 40% exit tax on people who try to escape the coming confiscation in the United States by attempting to renounce their U.S. citizenship and avoid paying the increasingly onerous taxes that will happen otherwise. And of course, as the piece notes, that would obviously happen the very second this bill even had a chance in hell of passing in either house. Yes, it'll kill jobs, and yes, it'll kill the GDP, but more importantly, folks, what the left is telegraphing here is their intent to try to cut off at the knees anybody that thinks they can escape the coming confiscation of whatever assets they have that Big Brother wants. And I guess no coming meltdown and communist collapse update would be complete without at least a brief mention of the coming mark of the beast. Courtesy of the Wine Press News, the U.S. megabank J.P. Morgan Chase has recently announced their satanic plans to deploy their proprietary biometric payment system with their merchants, rivaling the likes of Amazon and their contactless payment terminals. Nearly a year ago, the story says, they reported on J.P. Morgan's pilot program for this biometric payment system, which includes, quote, palm and face recognition and identification for payments authentication in store, and it works on an enroll, capture, authenticate, pay basis, explained the megabank. J.P. Morgan, of course, would manage the customer's sick biometric data for future transactions, if they're good little slaves, and if they're allowed to. The bank added, after a short customer enrollment process in store, the workflow is the cashier scans the items, or the customer uses their self-service terminal. The user scans their palm or face. Does that sound familiar? The user completes the checkout and gets their receipt. These solutions, it says, have benefits for merchants and their allowed customers. For merchants, the key benefits include customer sales and loyalty growth. And yes, of course, they get to remain in business if they're good little slaves of the almighty state. For the so-called customer, the payments are phone-free, private, secure, fast, and simple. And all they cost you is, yeah, your immortal soul. J.P. Morgan says, we want every merchant to adopt this. And you could add the words, or else, folks, and you'd be right on track. And when, you might be wondering, will this aspect of the coming Mark of the Beast be rolled out? In a recent discussion with Payments Dive, Prashant Sharma, Executive Director of Biometrics and Identity Solutions for J.P. Morgan, revealed they're planning on releasing this technology on a much broader scale to their vendors sometime next year in 2025. Sharma indicated that their main focus will be to roll out this technology at grocery stores, restaurants, and other major events and venues. In other words, you won't be able to buy or sell, much less eat, unless you sign up. At least that's the plan. And guess what, folks? Credit card giant Visa is right behind. From there today, I want to do a brief Mark of the Beast review, more or less in chronological order, starting all the way back in December of 2021, during the height of the COVID pandemic, you may recall, and of course the multi-part bioweapon follow-up, and leading up to things within just the last couple of weeks. First with that story from where else? New York City, back in mid-December of 2021, Tyranny Central, where a few folks at least seem to have had enough. They're not going to sit down and take it anymore. What do you bet Rosa Parks would be proud of these folks? And as a result, a decorated Army veteran and others were arrested by the tyrannical NYPD and their communist overlords at the Cheesecake Factory restaurant after refusing to show, Achtung, your papers, bitte, no bitte here, of course, their proof of vaccination. How dare they enter without their mandatory vaccine passports? They were denied service, but continued to attempt to order food and drinks at what they thought was a place of public accommodation, even a licensed restaurant, where things like acknowledging the civil rights of patrons was at least once supposed to be part of the deal. So New York City's finest, but not really, were called, and they were arrested. Retired U.S. Army veteran Michael Bosch, who served in Afghanistan and Iraq, was one of them, and he had this to say. We're fighting an army much stronger than us. The enemy is the politicians, the oligarchies. We have to do civil disobedience in order to get medical freedom. All we wanted to do is get something to eat and drink, and we'll gladly get out of here. But this, he said, is what it's going to take to get America to wake up, people to sacrifice, to get comfortable with getting uncomfortable. Our time is now. This is holding the line. Today, we the people take a stand. And even if it means we might spend some time behind bars, he said, we will not comply. Medical freedom is not negotiable, plain and simple, not negotiable. I fought for this country, said Bosch, in order to give everybody the opportunity for freedom, and I'm not going to go down. I'm willing to die for my country, for freedom. Well, folks, these evil people intend for you to die, just not in freedom. And so here, to paraphrase the great General George S. Patton, the answer is not to die for your country. Because the way to win the war, he said, is to make some other poor, dumb bastard die for his country. And he'd know it, so should we. This is not that country anymore. Well, from late 2021, we fast forward now to March of 2022, 2 years ago, And back then, Paul Joseph Watson of Summit News suggested, I would say correctly, that it was a harbinger of things to come. Russians attempting to use Apple Pay and Gulag Pay, two of the big tech public-private partners that aim to control financial systems in the U.S., and obviously the rest of the world too, found that their access had been blocked, this time causing chaos in the Moscow metro system. Irish journalist Jason Corcoran, says Watson, tweeted an image which shows long queues at the Moscow metro station after both of those payment systems stopped working, or was it sabotaged, for Russians, leaving people to fumble about for cash, tweeted Corcoran. Said The Verge, customers at a number of banks in Russia can no longer use their Big Brother Big Tech approved bank cards with Gulag Pay and Apple Pay due to newly imposed financial sanctions on the country, noting that such payment methods are actually less popular in Russia than they are in much of the West. And while customers can still use bank cards from these institutions within Russia, they'll no longer work abroad or when making online payments to stores and services belonging to countries that have issued sanctions on Russia, or in other words, that are part of the fascist global world system. You know the name, the Biden puppets jonesing for it, the New World Order. Said one local, given the keys of our lives to companies like Apple, Gulag, to Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon, as well as the rest of the digital world, is the biggest mistake for mankind. And as Watson concludes, aside from any argument about what's right and wrong with these opening salvos of World War III, the story underscores how allowing big tech public-private corporate partners to power the control payment systems based on their own moral judgments, or lack thereof, is in fact a dangerous game. What happens, he asks, when such systems become the only available payment option? Answer, folks, you can read it in Revelation chapter 13. This next story comes courtesy of Mike Adams in Natural News. It's dated November of 2022. And the aftermath of the infamous FTX collapse, I said back then it was a prescient warning. And you know what, folks? It should be obvious, too. 9/11, he reminds us, was a catastrophic event. It was also evidently a deep state false flag from the get-go. But in many ways, he said, it was allowed to take place in order to justify the expansion of the pre-written so-called Patriot Act, which was absolutely the opposite of anything patriotic, but did legalize intelligence community spying on a massive scale on the American people. It also set off decades of expansion of the U.S. police state that has since morphed from a war on terror to a war on the American populace, as Hitler calls them, the deplorables. Now, as you no doubt know, when the Biden Fuhrer reads his teleprompter, they're the right-wing racist MAGA terrorists. That was always the plan, of course, and 9/11 was allowed to take place so that public outrage would accompany legislative and executive efforts already pre-planned to enslave the American people under the now extant surveillance state. And it seems like there's a similar play being run now in the crypto space. Or the klepto space, as your hosts increasingly want to refer to it, the FTX collapse was engineered from the get-go because it was an inevitable outcome of the crypto exchange platform, which primarily functioned as a slush fund to money launder for the Democrats and fund their election, re-election, and sham campaigns as part of the 2022 midterm election rig. Now that FTX has collapsed, an event that was engineered into the company's operations from the very start, the calls, predictable as they are, for heavy-handed new regulations of cryptocurrencies are emerging right on cue. Writes CoinDesk, a hammer is going to fall on crypto exchange FTX, and the question is how heavy it'll be. And guess what, folks? Isn't it convenient that the Biden regime intends to use operations like this to force you, no, not into at least somewhat private engineering efforts like Bitcoin, but into central bank digital currencies, which will be more controlled than you can possibly imagine, unless, that is, you've read the book of Revelation. Yeah, one more time. I said it back then. I think it bears repeating if you understand the mark of the beast and how fast we're headed there. And so now a story from just over a week ago, March 11th of 2024. And I introduced it then by saying it was a story that wasn't getting the coverage that it should have. It comes via Ethan Huff at Natural News under the headline, Representative Thomas Massie is warned about a federal plan to electronically track, listen carefully, all U.S. cattle in order to do what? Well, stymie beef production and ultimately force you to either eat bugs, as Klaus Schwab and the WEF want, or just plain starve, which they'd probably prefer. But maybe it's the same thing anyway. Massie warns about the federal plan to electronically track, it says, all U.S. cattle for that very reason, because hidden deep within the new omnibus bill is a secret provision to allow the FedGov to electronically track all cattle in the United States. Thomas Massey of Kentucky warned about the hidden provision on X, stating that lobbyists will receive $15 million in, what else, taxpayer funds to unleash their electronic tracking grid on the nation's meat-producing cows and bison, and as stated directly from the omnibus text, the agreement, quote, directs the department to continue to provide the tags and related infrastructure needed to comply with the Federal Animal Disease Traceability Rule, 9 CFR 86, including no less than 15 million new fiat bucks for electronic identification, EID tags, UNT related surveillance and infrastructure needed for stakeholders, there's that communist buzzword, to comply with the proposed rule. Use of electronic ID ear tags as official identification in cattle and bison, 88 FR 3320, should that rule, at the expense of the American people, be finalized. And, oh, yeah, you know they're going to call it an emergency. We don't want the government to shut down, do we? We may want your food production, too, but that's a whole different deal. None of this, Representative Massey warned, is legal, nor is it constitutional, folks. And yet, the near-total apathy of the American people, and more importantly, those who are feeding them their crap, means that these kinds of things are easily passable without so much as a peep from the wider constituency, who, for the most part, will never, ever know about it until it's way too late. Said Massey on X, no law authorizes this. Instead, he said it will be used by the green agenda to limit beef production and by the corporate meat oligopoly to dominate small ranchers, unquote. No, yeah, let's not forget the inevitable corollary. The intent is to destroy their ability to even have cattle or any other thing that might be an alternative to the big brother planned coming famine. But wait, there's more and more to the agenda. What Representative Massey means, according to Attorney Thomas Renz, by that green agenda, is that this little air tag scheme is merely a front to dig further into the American meat supply in order to crush it and control it and ultimately eliminate it, to pave the way for synthetic meat, bugs, and other so-called climate-friendly replacements in the market, which they will flood with the alternatives. And Massey's one of the few that's been calling that out. But even more ominous, continues the piece, or at least, folks, it's something to recognize, is a warning from Attorney Thomas Renz put in the response to Representative Massey's tweet about the implications of the electronic ID tag in cattle ears associated with so-called food safety. Quote, it will also be used, he said, to ensure the introduction of genetic modifying vaccines on a universal basis into the food supply, wrote Renz. This is not just about limiting beef output. It's about ensuring that beef available has mRNA vaccines in it. Renz further responded to Representative Massey by offering to speak with him directly about the details of all this, emphasizing surety in his understanding of the real long-term plan. Finally, concludes Ethan Huff, all this constant fighting about the climate BS, the food supply, other pertinent issues is exhausting, say a number of the people responding, which is why more and more of them seem to want to support the idea of just splitting the country up into two separate entities, those that care about human lives and the freedoms that other Americans once fought and died for, and those that not only hate them, but want them done away with, and have now shown that they're willing to kill lots of different Americans to make that happen. Quote, no wonder why people are asking for a national divorce to split this country up, said one of many. Just give them their Green New Deal, illegals, crime, and drugs, and drag shows. Let the people on the planet that are sane have the rest of the country. Now, the obvious problem, folks, and we certainly need to comment on that here, is that they don't intend to even allow that, because your very existence is a threat to their very dominating control plans. So, there's my way or the highway, and if you don't like it, we intend to kill you anyway, is kind of the bottom line. Furthermore, that's borne out by not only history, but also scripture, and the idea of the mark of the beast, and the plan to eventually control everyone, and if you don't take that mark, well, kill you is the simple way to put it, but preventing people from buying or selling is one sure way to get there. And how better to start than with animals that they not only want to track, but make sure you're not allowed to have, much less eat. And if you're silly enough to let us mark them first, we'll get around to you next. And one way we can do that is by controlling not only what you can and can't eat, but what's in it if we let you. Ha ha! Isn't that clever? Don't fall for it, folks. I close today by noting one of the questions I get whenever I do stories like this is, gee, isn't it about time? When are we finally going to see it? And I guess the answer, and this is the good news, is the creator of the universe has given us a couple of thousand years of advance warning. What's the problem with waiting just a few extra months or even years to make sure that everybody that does have ears to hear or eyes to see can start to get their house in order? Thanks for joining us, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.